Hey everyone, I know you've heard me speak about microdosing and how much I love it. And I'm talking about microdosing THC. I love it. And that's why I love our sponsor, microdose.com. Microdose gummies are incredible. They deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you feel just the right amount of good. And when I mean just the right amount of good, I mean in so many situations. Anxiety, sleep, focus, pain, relaxation. There are so many different strains and they're really helpful. And I have recommended microdose.com to so many people. And you know what they say to me? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Don't be afraid of microdosing. Go to microdose.com and you'll learn all about microdosing THC. These gummies feel amazing. They taste amazing. I have used them to get me into the zone I need to write. I've used them at night after a stressful day or a stressful show to relax. I have also said to family members, please take a gummy right now. And they've said, oh, good idea. So check it out. Check it out because they're fantastic. And I'm not like a big weed person. I mean, I used to be. And I do enjoy weed every now and then. But I love these gummies. And I take them with me everywhere. So check it out. Don't be afraid. They're all natural. They're fantastic. And you deserve it. So what are you going to do? You're going to do something that is fantastic. You're going to get 30% off your first order. 30% off. That's a lot. Plus free shipping today at microdose.com. Use promo code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD. It's available nationwide. They deliver it to your door. That is microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD for 30% off and free shipping. Do it. Go to microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD. You deserve it. You deserve it. And you know what else? You're welcome.
Tropft uns den Regen auf mein Kopf. Pink wie ein Deckerbus, ist die kleine Fahrt im Topf. Geht mir kein Sach mit, die Tropft.
Hey everyone, welcome to Kill Me Now with Judy Gold. I am your host, Judy Gold, and this week we have part two of my unbelievable interview with Jocelyn Chia. It was such a pleasure to get to talk to her because, as you all know, I am a free speech advocate, and you know, her telling a joke and literally turning the world upside down in Malaysia and Singapore. It's crazy. It's crazy. But her story's so, it's fascinating. And I know I say the word fascinating a lot, but I don't fucking care. I just want to let you know, I opened my shows this week. Was my first week in Provincetown at the Post Office Cabaret Club and Cabaret. No, it's Cafe and Cabaret. And the audiences are great. And I love that room. And if you're on the Cape, come see me do my show, Everything Hurts Everywhere All at Once. And absolutely it does. And I've been swimming in the ocean. Elisa and I, we have this joke that we only get along in the ocean. And it's actually true. The minute our feet hit the sand, we start fighting again. So I just wanted to say, we had some rulings by the Supreme Court, which is a right-wing, I don't even trust them. It's not even like everything. Ugh. I mean, Alito is such a fucking asshole. That asshole. Fucking, what's his name? Clarence Thomas. What a dick. And he got to where he is because of affirmative action. And then he votes against it. These people are such hypocrites. And I still can't stand Brett Kavanaugh and his stupid crying and his like, and I can't stand, what's her name? She didn't deserve it. Neil Gorsuch didn't deserve it. And then we have Ketanji Brown Jackson, who is the fucking greatest, and Alana Kagan. And What's her name? Sotomayor. Who used to go to my gym. She used to work out in my gym. So, yeah, it's sad. Country is sad. It's fucking sad. You're gonna decide like, oh, I don't have to make a website for a gay person. I don't want to send flowers to a gay person's funeral. You know, like, or are you gonna call up and say, hi, I'd like to buy a food for a funeral. And they're like, oh, that person was gay. So we're not going to send the... I mean, like, it's just so fucking... Who fucking cares if you're fucking gay? Like, shut up. Go be straight. Go be straight. Go do it in a missionary position. Go have your kids, have your family. Leave us the fuck alone. Leave us the fuck, le fuck alone. Okay? It's none of your fucking business. And let me tell you something else. Jesus can't stand you, okay? So don't tell me what Jesus thinks or what he says or what, because he doesn't, you don't fucking know. Okay, I could really go off on this right now, but I want you to enjoy Jocelyn because she's, it's such a great story, such a great story. I'm also going to go start doing my shooting the shits again where I sit on the toilet and rant. I seem to only rant lately. Well, it's fine. I'm 60. I'm going to do them. And I want to do one about that Biden has a CPAP machine. Like, that's fucking news. That's fucking news. That Biden has a CPAP machine. I have a fucking CPAP machine. There's people in their 20s who have CPAP machines. Like, shut the fuck up. I can't take anymore. Anyway, but it's July 4th. Happy birthday, United States of America. Happy birthday. So anyway, enjoy your fireworks. And I hope I create fireworks in your life. And I want to thank you all for listening. So sit back. If you're in the car, just recline. If you're not driving, if you have a Tesla and it's a self-drive, you know, just close your eyes and listen to the sultry voice of me and Jocelyn Chia. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. You are doing stand-up, you're getting gigs, you pass at the Cellar, which is, for anyone who is not a comedy fan, the Cellar. Oh, I can hit the Owned by Jews.
That's right.
It is the be-all and end-all, really, of clubs. It's where every comic wants to perform. The audiences are not allowed to have cell phones. They are locked up in a packet. They are Noam Dorman, Estia Dorum. They're all advocates. They're on the side of the comic. A lot of clubs are on the side of the audience and the money. They are on the side of the art of stand-up and the comedian. So most people want to work there. You're doing a set there. Now, we now, as I said in the beginning, comedians have to create content online in order to get people in the seats.
Yep.
And that is a, how do you say it? A blessing and a curse, I guess?
Double-edged sword.
Yep. Thank That's you, John. Of course, yep. You know the fucking word that I want. Okay. It is a double-edged sword because when you, and this has happened to me, I talk about it on my show, posting a joke that is not the entire bit, that is then taken out of context, and then a group of people come after you. So you did a joke, very funny.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
And I'm saying this because as a Jew, who I have jokes about the Holocaust, people, you know, Pryor, Carlin, Joan Rivers, Lenny Bruce, they all, you know, the whole point of stand-up is going over that line and you know, finding the line, as George Carlin said, crossing it and making the audience happy that you did. So, so you're doing this joke and it's about, can you just tell me about the bit? I mean, I could play the bit, but sure. if you want me to, but I'd rather, you know, it come from you.
Absolutely. Happy to. So the bit is about Singapore, which is where I grew up, and I had citizenship there for 21 years, versus Malaysia, who who was a more powerful country at the time that Singapore gained its independence. So when Singapore first became independent from the British, small, struggling little nation, no natural resources, had to form a union with Malaysia in order to
survive. Get water. And we're talking about infrastructure, water, everything.
Well, and we still get water right. from Malaysia. Yeah, everything. Like, we were like a little baby and Malaysia was like the mother who right. we still needed. And again, this is all based
and
on
when,
like, my
what year was this,
classes.
By the way?
1968.
Okay, so
maybe.
This is not that, not I was really. Alive. Yeah. So it's not that long ago. Okay.
Right. And then Malaysia kicked us out of the union, right? They were like, it's not working out. So we left, we had to leave, we were forced out of the union. And my prime minister at the time, when he announced the separation, he actually teared up, you know, he actually cried. So this was an emotional time for Singapore's survival. He just thought we wouldn't be able to survive without Singapore. And the big miracle is that Singapore then became a first world country in one generation, and Malaysia still remained a developing right. country. So the essence of the joke is twofold. One is a breakup, glow up right. story, and now she's like really warding it over the ex-boyfriend who right. dumped her a long time ago when he was the hot jock in high school and she was the nerdy right. little girl. And now she's the supermodel walking down the runway and making millions of dollars, right? right? It's like, fuck you, boyfriend. Right. That's the essence. And then the second part, like to your point about crossing the line and making the audience happy about it, is and that's why the joke really, really killed, and it's actually my best joke in terms of audience response, is that I cross the line when I talk about how I do a little conversation between Singapore and Malaysia after the glow up, right? Because Malaysia is now like, oh, Singapore, you're looking
right,
good.
Right.
And Singapore's like, I know, but why haven't you visited me in 40 years? And Malaysia's like, oh, I tried, but you know, my airplanes can't fly.
right.
And that's the part where I usually lose the audience. I mean, sometimes audiences will really laugh and clap at that part, but they have to be pretty drunk and wild and naughty to like go along
right.
and laugh at this part. Vast majority, I'll say 90% of the time, I will kind of lose the audience that the airplanes can fly because the audiences are sensitive
right.
these days. But then the fun part is after I lose them, I like pretend that, oh, Malaysian Airlines going is not funny.
Right.
Oh, okay, never mind. And then I'll turn around and I turn back again and I say, some jokes don't
right.
land.
Right, I love that. Some jokes don't, because now this is all because of the Malaysian airline flight MH370. Okay. Which was never found, correct? It just
never
disappeared.
Found it. Such a mystery. Yeah.
And do you get more pushback? I mean, I'm sure is it all Asian pushback? Are you having issues now with Americans also?
No,
see, the Americans
don't
care. So,
it doesn't seem like it. And I don't read all
right.
my comments and all my hate culture. I'd be stupid if I did that. But from what I'm seeing, it's only
okay.
Asian pushback.
Now,
I mean, I have to ask someone else
right.
if this is
so. You've been doing this joke for a long time, right? And by the way, it takes years to really develop a bit. So I'm sure you started it with one thing and then it grew and grew until you got to the land, the last line, which is the land. Okay.
100%. Ironically, I started it in Singapore. It was a roast battle between Singapore and Malaysia.
Uh-huh.
And I was just doing just a quick roast joke of, oh, you Malaysians, y'all. And this was in 2016,
right.
like 2 years after the plane went missing. So pretty, it was
yeah.
only two years difference. I mean, 2 years had passed. And I was like, oh, you Malaysians, you're always talking about how your food is better than Singapore's food. All right, maybe your nasi lemak is better. But you know what? Our airplanes stay in the
yeah.
sky. And the crowd went that
right.
shit crazy. So I was like, oh, that's a good joke.
Yeah.
So, but that was a long time ago. And I didn't do this, like, I didn't start creating this, like, breakup bit until 2022,
right.
I think.
And
something
it's
like
so,
that, a year and a half
so,
ago.
It so shows the greatness, I don't know if that's a good word, or, you know, of stand-up, that you can explain history. Like, the audience is learned. Like, that's the thing. When I do a joke about the Holocaust, which is really, it's not really about the Holocaust. It's about, you know, my son wanting to get a tattoo or me going to the Anne Frank house or my mother or something like that. The joke is really about that. And yet you decide you can't use that word or talk about that topic. And they're not listening to the intent of the comedian. When you take the intent out, there's nothing left. And of course, on social media, there's no context and there's no nuance. So here you are doing this tried and true bit. And it gets posted and you get, let me just read this. Singapore's foreign minister, Vivian Balakrishnan, is it Balakrishnan? Said you're not Malaysian anymore. There are other comedians who are jailed. I talk about this in my show, jailed. And of course, the Afghani comedian Kasha Zwan, who was murdered by the Taliban, or Taliban. I don't know how to fucking say that. But oh my God, I said Taliban and Taliban.
Not even one about the Taliban.
Riesel van Giesel.
Oh yeah.
He's a friend of yours. And he was arrested for a joke.
The rest of, about to stand trial soon.
For a joke.
Yep.
Lee Hayoshi, whose name is House, also in trouble because he did a joke about his dogs and said they behaved like the, you know, People's Army. So that was an insult to the People's Army. You have had your family harassed, your friends and your colleagues harassed over this bit.
The seller had 4,000 one-star reviews.
That's the other thing. The seller got 4,000 one-star. This is why I fucking hate Yelp. I hate this whole idea that every moron's opinion is equally valid. That you, you can go to a restaurant and the fucking host looks at you cross-eyed and you're like, that's it, fuck these people and they should never. The whole idea that, and this is what real.
You need an electoral college for. Review
systems. Exactly. The whole idea that these politicians, these fascists, these dictators who literally kill people, who put people's lives in danger, who pass legislation that incites violence and hate, still get to keep their jobs, and yet a comedian does a joke you don't like. And they should never be able to perform again.
That is truly mind-blowing, yeah.
This whole thing fucking drives me up a fucking wall. One of the quotes was that you're undermining the Singapore-Malaysia relationship. You're a fucking comedian.
He said I'm undermining the Singapore-Malaysia relationship. I have to add that to my new bit.
Because you're so fucking powerful. What is the relationship between Singapore and Malaysia today?
I know I can't speak with that much authority because I haven't been Singaporean for such a long time, but it is one of, like, at least from my point of view, friendly rivalry, right? We take pot shots at one another. Yeah, we used to be a union. Malaysia used to be the shit. Now, of course, Singapore is like the developed country, so prosperous. And they have a lot of issues, right? Like their former prime minister is now in jail, etc. It's just kind of it seems kind of messy. But then at the same time, they are still the much larger country than Singapore, much more populous. I assume they have a far bigger army. Singapore still needs them for natural resources like water. So it's like a very it's like a friendship, but there is also
competitors.
Competition, some like when Malaysia's not happy with Singapore, they always threaten to withhold our water. Right. So, you know, we're constantly under their thumb a little bit. And that's why Singapore has had to manufacture water just to gain a little bit more independence. So, I would say it's a friendship, but it's a little on the fragile side. Not a solid friendship. That's my sense. Especially with this blowback, my sense is that it's just not really like a solid friend. It's not like Russia and China, you know, where they're like just back one another up. Yeah, go to war, invade another country. I still got your back, bro.
It's ridiculous.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
you're in Atlantic City this week working, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Any sort of blowback? Do you get any blowback from it? I mean, are people following you? Or is this just an ongoing, you wake up in the morning and is it what you think about first? Are you scared? Like, I want to know exactly how your life has changed since a stupid fucking, these people, just FYI, Mark Twain said, under the assault of laughter, nothing can stand. And dictators and fascists are so threatened by satire and humor because they don't have the weapon to fight back. And you're telling the truth and they hate the truth. Mm. So what is your day like? Is this taking over your life?
Huh. At this point, no. Good. It's been a couple of weeks since it started, right? At this point, now it's almost like I'm reaping the rewards of this happening. When something is so bad and negative, I guess maybe the universe balances it out with good. So in the beginning, of course, it was quite anxiety-producing, let's put it that way. I mean, I hate giving them
any sort
any
of power.
Satisfaction. Yeah, exactly. So I'm very proud. I'm very tough. Like I will understate what I had to go through just so I don't give them the satisfaction that the effect.
But also, you're getting so much notoriety, and you're a symbol of our First Amendment rights here in the United States.
Isn't that so crazy? Like an Asian girl from Singapore.
It's perfect.
American symbol of First Amendment rights. It's so funny to me.
It's the greatest. That's why, this country was based on everyone, on outsiders. Everyone at some point was an outsider here. And here is this, Asian, brilliant, funny, thought-provoking comic who is turning these countries upside down. Like it's unfucking believable.
But part of the power I think that I do hold is that American citizenship. And I've had it since birth. And now you're making me wonder, was I always a little bit anti-authority? Right. Because subconsciously, even as a young girl, I knew in my passport, it says like the United States government will do all it can to protect this citizen. Right. Something to that. I can't remember the exact words. But when I read, I was like, wow, the United States government has my back. And so I suspect now, I only think about this for the first time, but subconsciously, my little girl brain, I was like, I have the U.S. fucking government having my back,
Have you, besides you-know-who, the drag performer from Asia, has most of your comedy community been supportive?
In America, absolutely 100%. Singapore and Malaysia, I've had a few reach out privately. A rare couple of Malaysian comics actually tried to be on my side, and they got so much blowback that I can't even mention their name to the press because they have please don't mention my name. You're getting death threats. My family's getting death threats. Is that crazy?
It's over a fucking joke. A joke.
For a fucking joke. And not even the person that told it. Now they're attacking people who found that joke funny.
I guess stand-up, the whole idea of stand-up being, this truth-telling, seeing things from another perspective. Critical thinking is really what makes stand-up so great. What do you think, and it's just starting to gel in these other countries, this idea of stand-up. What do you think what do you think the future is of stand-up in Asia? And how do you think this situation will affect it?
This is a great question because the Asian stand-up scene is very young. It still is in its infancy, maybe a decade old or so. Kumau did start it, but he's not pure stand-up, right?
He's
more of a drag show and
like
some
a personality.
Or something like
that.
Personality, totally. It's a character show. More of a one-person show. And I think it's going to have a very chilling effect on the stand-up scene because the truth is this Malaysian Airlines type joke has been done for years in Singapore and Malaysia on the stages. Mm-hmm. And right, so it's been on the stage. Mine was maybe the first to be posted on social media, definitely the first to go viral. Maybe others have tried posting on social media. I don't know, but they didn't have, like the seller co-posting it, so it didn't go viral. But I think now Asian comedians are going to be even more conscious of what they say on stage or what they post. Because like, they're not at the cellar where like, you can have no phones, right? What if someone is secretly taping them?
Which is how
them?
We so I think they're develop our work.
Totally. Yeah, and how you know where the line is, whether you crossed it, whether you didn't, right? So like the day that you're trying something and you crossed it, okay, then you're not going to do it.
Well, that's how you learn. Yeah, I mean, I say this all the time. Only art form where the audience is the vital element of the creative process.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, on the other hand, maybe there'll be some renegade Asian comedian who's like, oh, I want all this attention. Right. And they start doing edgy jokes. So maybe it could also have another effect where someone who's like really against the grain and rebellious is going to be like, I'm going to be the Anthony Jeselnik of Asia. But given that there's such severe consequences in Asia other than being canceled, where you can actually get jailed and have your liberty taken away from you, I don't think it's going to be a very flourishing scene after
this. Do you think that you were treated differently because you're female?
I personally didn't because like we were talking about in the beginning, we don't think that way. I never for one second thought this was because I was female, but so many comedians have expressed that this is because I'm female, that in general, women just get much more blowback online and so much more hate online than men. And another Singaporean comedian who was on the Seller podcast expressed that, you know, in Malaysia, they don't really like Chinese people that much because the Chinese tend to be more successful in Malaysia. And again, this is his view. He was like, you know, they can be a little sexist. And you know, that Malaysia has that rivalry, like supposedly friendly, but maybe not anymore. That friendly rivalry is Singaporeans. So they thought out Singaporeans. Like all these like demographic factors did go against me is what he was thinking. But then because Rizal Van Giesel and the Malaysian comics that did try to say that they found this joke funny have also been getting a lot of hate. I'm not really sure it's a sex thing in my point of view. I've heard a lot of people say that.
I mean, in the United States, it would definitely be a consideration because I mean, we're taking away women's rights here. We're just nothing to these people. I don't know if you know this about me, but I was a cast member of All American Girl, Margaret Cho's sitcom.
Shut up! I grew up.
Okay, so I played Gloria. She had two friends. Ruthie and Gloria. I was Gloria.
Oh, wow.
And, so I wondered if you saw that, if that was, and talk about, like, when we talk about that show, I mean, we're still all in touch. B.D. Wong actually directed my one person show based on my book here that would just closed it. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So
okay.
We talked a lot about how that show and Margaret herself, let's talk about another outspoken, smart Asian woman. They took her character and sanitized it and made that show just, it could have been so much more grand. It was the first Asian American family on network television. And yet they, so they did the same thing sort of in that time. And I just didn't know if I wondered if you got to see that when you were a kid, that show.
I did. Yeah. And then she came to my college to speak to us. So I did get to meet him.
She's the best.
Yes. Great.
Hey everyone. You know what I just did? I tore, I poured, and I enjoyed a packet of Liquid IV. Because I love Liquid IV. Liquid IV is a major part of my life. And I just worked out with my trainer and I had a delicious lemon ginger Liquid IV. That one has a little extra, that has a little green tea in it. And so that's a little caffeinated. So I enjoy that because I needed it today. And you know, it's getting warmer out. And what does that mean? Summer. Oh God, please come. It can't come soon enough. And that means you have to hydrate. And that's what Liquid IV does. It hydrates you with benefits like electrolytes, vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients. And it has 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients in one little stick. And that's why Liquid IV is the number one powered hydration brand in America. Okay? And I love it. I use it every day. Ben's basketball team uses it. It is a science-backed formula that works. It keeps you hydrated. And they have sugar-free. They have sugar-free packets in white peach, green grape, raspberry melon, and lemon lime. Okay? I didn't do the sugar-free. Okay. But Elisa does the sugar-free. So what are you going to do? You're going to stay hydrated because it's very, very important. And Liquid IV has been a longtime sponsor, and I love them, and they are a quality product. And this is what you're going to do. You're going to turn your ordinary water into extraordinary hydration with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code JUDYGOLD at checkout. That's JUDYGOLD. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD, can't even say my name, at liquidiv.com. Got it? You're welcome. What is next for you? You're just going to keep on, I think you should keep on doing what you're doing. And I think, there's this thing where people don't read reviews, right? So I just did a show, a theater show, and I didn't read my reviews because I know that every time I get, if someone mentions a line in the play or something, every time I get to that line, I'm going to think about the reviewer and not what the director wanted me to do with that line. It'll always be in the back of my head. Do you feel any sort of, and I'm not saying this to give them power, but I know that I talk to young comedians who say that they have to play it safe just to get stage time now in a lot of venues, like in Brooklyn, and that they're told, please don't talk about this. Are you more conscious when you get on stage? Has this done anything to make you think more instead of just being in the zone?
I'm really surprised comics in America are being told this, because in Singapore, when I was headlining, I would actually have to sign a contract about what you cannot say. You cannot criticize the government. You cannot talk about homosexuality. But now homosexuality was only made legal like a year or so ago. That's how late they were to the game, right? So you couldn't talk about homosexuality. And maybe the third thing was, you can't complain about how hot it is.
Oh, God, shut the fuck up. Yeah.
I'm kidding. But you had to sign an agreement saying, I'm surprised they're doing it in America. That is nuts to me.
These are the young, I interviewed some young comics for my show, and they were saying, these produced shows where they're like, listen, talk about this and it's like, you can't be a comedian if people are telling you not to fucking talk about stuff. Censorship. Sorry, I didn't mean to do that. Right. But do you think, is it in the back of your head when you're writing new material? Because I've had the most edgy comics come up to me and ask me if they're going to get in trouble for something. And I'm like, you? What are you like?
Really? So edgy comics have been in the game for a while.
Yeah, they're saying, is this going to cause me? And I'm like, who fucking cares? Like, who cares? No, say it.
If they're caring, that's me speaking to the sign of the times. I haven't censored myself at all. I mean, the first day I was starting to get blowback and getting like these calls and messages from Malaysians, just hating on me. I went on stage and just ranted about what was going on, talked about it. On them, everything you would do when something bad happens to you, right? No, I didn't give a fuck. And I didn't write a single joke about it. And so that's my main concern as a comedian. Am I going to get a laugh? And because I hadn't written a joke about it, that was the only reason why I wouldn't have talked about it, because I didn't have a joke prepared. But it was a bar show in Brooklyn, actually. And I was like, you know what? Let's just go old school rant. And I just got up and I just ranted for the first, maybe six, seven. That's your favorite. And it was so funny already. And so now it's actually it turns into a bit. It's turned into a bit. Yeah, I did again last night. And it was a, you know, Atlantic City is pretty Republican. Ugh. And it got an applause break by the end. But it's a Republican audience. So I could try in New York City to see if it expands across the board. But yeah, it was an applause break bit by
That's
the end
so
of this
fucking
bit.
Great.
So, and I'm hoping to get a special out of this.
Yeah, you better get a fucking special. I got to thank you for being on my podcast. You're just, I support you 150,000%.
Thank you so much.
And I don't want you ever censoring yourself or thinking, oh, I can't say it, because that's where comedy goes to die, when someone's like,
yeah,
you know. All right. I always ask my podcast guests two things.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you seem really into it. Okay. Number one, what do you do for your mental health?
Before this happened, I would do EFT. Are you familiar with that? The tapping?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I do love that. I do that pretty much every day. Anything from like a quick 3 minutes morning one just to set your day up. Like, today's going to be a great day. It's going to be a beautiful day. Blah, blah,
I
blah,
love
blah.
That.
I do that. And I do a hypnosis pretty much every night to mm-hmm. wind down and calm down and stress and relax my jaw. I have a lot of jaw tension. So specifically for the jaw and also like, I guess the mental tension that affects the jaw. And I take a hot bath very often with Epsom salt.
Oh, I love
music,
that. I don't fit in my bathtub, so I can't do that. I can only take a bath on the road. It's the worst. Go ahead.
Oh, you have a tiny bath. Oh, that's funny. Essential oils. And then I have certain mood supplements, like Sam E. Sounds to be good for your mental health.
What is it?
So I do take some. Sam E, SAM-E. It's a supplement here, but apparently in Europe, it's a medication. It's like a prescription for depression. But here in America, it's just a supplement, and a medical intuitive recommended to me once before. So I was like, let's try it.
I'm going
to
check
and
that out.
CBD, I do take CBD as well. I do a fair amount for my mental health, I would say. And sometimes I'll do this thing called the magical morning practice, which is you send a recording to your magical morning partner where you talk about what you're grateful for, and then you talk about what you're grateful for, pretending it's already the end of the day. So meaning you go through your day as though it's
like
already
you visualize it.
Visualizing, I had a great day today. I had a great interview with Judy Gold, and it was so fun and funny, right? And but I do it before I even do the interview, and then also future gratitudes, like a year or two from now, what are my gratitudes as though it already happened? So that one's
I want to do that one. That one sounds great. It's called morning magic routine,
magical morning practice.
Magical morning. Oh, I love that. I love this kind of stuff because I meditate and then I try to do. Visualization and stuff like that. But then, I'm Jewish, so it's like, please. None of that. Then there's the voice going, none of that's going to happen. So you can sit there and visualize all you want, but, it's just like, the negative.
I definitely have is this shit isn't really going to work moments. Sometimes they can have the. Sometimes when you do everything right in the morning, I did Anthony Robbins priming and my EFT and I did my breath work and my hypnosis and I said a fucking shitty day. I'm like, this shit doesn't
I'm the same way. I'm like, fuck this shit. I did everything and now I didn't get that part. You fucking asshole.
I did everything and I fucking sprained my ankle. What the fuck?
I know. I'm 100.
It actually happened. I did everything right, and I sprained my ankle that day.
So fucking crazy. Okay, here's my other. So the name of my podcast is Kill Me Now because I get so annoyed at everything. Like everything pisses me off. What pisses you off more than anything in the entire world? Like makes you crazy mad?
I mean, the one thing that I can think of right now because it's been happening is people. It's only men who just keep walking at me, expecting me to move with them.
God.
Like they don't move out of the way.
Oh my! I have recently noticed more of that. They don't get out of your way. And also, the fucking people walking down the street like this.
Yes.
And they're staring at their phone. And I will literally stop and put my arms up like that. And I will not get out of their way. And my son, Ben, is like, Mommy, you could have just moved away. I'm like, no, I'm not moving away. He doesn't fucking own the goddamn sidewalk. Like, these people.
Yes, yes.
It's, they're so not present. No one is present.
Mm.
Yeah, I noticed that too. I fucking hate that. See how mad I get?
Yeah. And the ones that just keep walking straight at me, like that one's not even a presence thing. That one's more like an right. entitlement thing. Like, oh, the little Asian girl should move out of your way for you, big guy, huh? Really?
Because you're a fucking white entitled. Like, oh, you just, yeah, go fuck yourself. All right. I can't thank you enough. I'm going to come hang with you at the cellar when you get back.
I would love
and,
that.
And keep doing what you're doing. And go to the White House sub shop in Atlantic City.
Okay.
You're going to fucking die.
Love it. Thank you for the recommendation. And thank you so much for having me on
podcast.
Oh
my God, thank you.
We're,
I'm on your side 100% and you're hilarious. Thank you so much for listening to part two of my interview with the one and only Jocelyn Chia. What a fucking story, right? Huh? Kill Me Now is produced by Laura Vogel. It is edited by Colin Schmeling, who asked me to get the intro and outro in early so he could be with his family for July 4th. And all marketing, everything else, clips, posting, everything. My life is produced. I want to thank Brittany Joe Sowards Richmond. Husband's Jew. So there you go. I hope you enjoyed this week. I am FYI, I am in Provincetown Tuesdays and Sundays at 8:30 p.m. and Thursdays at 7 p.m. If you're on the Cape, come. I'm really funny. I'm off the. It's great, and I love the club, the Post Office Cafe, Cabaret, and there's so many other great shows there. Randy Roberts is there. My friend Edie Christopher, he is fucking hilarious, great drag queen, and we gotta support the drag queens, but we really have to support the stand-up comedians too. And there's an illusion show there. It's a great venue. So there's that. And I will be in Montreal at the Just for Laughs Festival, the 18th to the 28th of July. Other than that, I don't know what to tell you. I do want to thank everyone for listening. I know I took a picture of someone who said they listened to the end, because I love it when you listen to the end. So now I'm going into my photos all the way. By the way, I've also been playing tennis, and Elise is really good and I'm not, and it's really annoying. So that is okay, whatever. Oh, I want to read this before I go. So I went to Baltimore and I did the JCC. I think I told you about it last week. Anyway, but I did the JCC there. They have a beautiful theater. And a girl came up and asked to take a picture. And then she posted the picture on the Instagram. And she wrote this to me. And it really makes my life. This is what it's all about, people. It was great to get a picture with you. I remember hiding in the basement watching your stand-up special on Logo. You helped me find my Jewish lesbian identity as a little kid. I came out when I was 12 and it almost ruined my whole bat mitzvah. Thanks for coming back to the JCC. You're hilarious as always. Safe travels. Now, coming out was such a big thing for me in 96 when Henry was born, because I was working in the straight clubs. And you see, Comedy Central did not edit my material or tell me not to be gay. And it helped people. And representation is really, really important. So that made my week. And you know what else made my week? All of you people listening. So thank you all so much for listening to the end. I adore you. Someone wrote to me on Gilbert's podcast about that they found me through Gilbert's podcast because Dara, his wife, sent it to me, Gilbert Gottfried. And I just want to say that, what's his name? Gabriel Noel. Thank you. And I Gabriel is into me joining Patreon. But it's like I have to do all this other stuff and I don't want to do it. I might. Who the hell knows? I got to make some money because I got to retire. I'm never going to retire. Anyway, who cares? Thank you all for listening. I love you all so much. And as we always say, so long.
Buenos dias, world, from the San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance. I'm Marco Wendt.
And I'm Rick Schwartz. And we're your hosts for Season 3 of Amazing Wildlife, a show from iHeartRadio Ruby Studio and the global conservation organization behind the San Diego Zoo and the San Diego Zoo Safari Park.
Listen as we dive into the efforts here in San Diego and spotlight the heroes working worldwide to care for the species you know and love.
Listen to Amazing Wildlife on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.